I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Verses 12 through 21 this morning. We did half the chapter last week. We'll do the second half this week. Last week, as I said, we studied the first half of Romans 5 and we learned about the incredible blessings of justification. Marilyn, put them in your bulletin under the praise section. Peace, grace, hope, love, salvation, God Himself. All of those little words that carry so much meaning. And they come to us through justification. Did you hear all the justification words in the songs we sang this morning? Even that last one that I got you lost in? Freely He justified. He justified us freely forever. And all these blessings we have flow out of that justification, out of being declared righteous because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, how deep the Father's love for us. And last week, it just kept getting better and better as we went, didn't it? Till it reached a crescendo, right? We couldn't take any more. Well, in the second half of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul tells the story of how it could be so good. If it kept getting better and better, how could it be so good? How could the gospel be such astonishingly good news for you and me? Just like last week, he begins with the therefore, which means that he's explaining something that he's already said, right? And I think the thing Paul is trying to explain to us is how that hope that we talked about last week, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He's explaining how that hope that we talked about last week could be ours forever. Catch this. Even though the story of the world had been so bad for so long. You know you're living in a story? The story of the world had been so bad so long. How can we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? And to explain that, Paul reaches way back. He reaches way back and tells the story of the world one more time. This time, not through the patriarch Father Abraham, like he did in chapter 4, but even further back to the father of the whole human race, the man we know as Adam. All roads lead to Romans, including the Adam road. From Genesis to Romans. Paul here compares and contrasts what Adam did with what Jesus did. You know what Adam did, right? I don't have to preach Genesis 3 this morning, do I? And you know what Jesus did, right? We just sang about it. How do the two compare? How are they alike? How are they different? Are they equal? Or is one of them much greater? Now, last week I said that verses 1 through 12 were really easy to understand. They were amazingly full of incredible, glorious truth, but all I had to do was to read it to you, and you could follow it straight through. Verses 12 through 21 aren't quite like that. They are much more confusing. Paul's argument is much harder to follow, but we will do our best. It's still full of logic. Paul loves logic. Logic is what makes sense of the world to Paul, and it's how he loves to communicate. But like we said last week, it's not cold logic, it's logic on fire. And in today's passage, Paul's favorite logic words are, how much more. How much more? Those are logic words. Okay? One thing may be true, Paul says, but how much more is this other thing true and wonderful? How much more? And the two things that are constantly being contrasted throughout most of this section are the things related to Adam and how much more the things related to Christ. Does that make sense? You with me so far? So here's the point. People have been messed up for a very, very long time. Ever since the very beginning. And it came through Adam. And all those blessings we learned about last week, all that hope that Paul talked about, had been dashed with Adam. But Jesus has come along and not only reversed what Adam did, but he's accomplished how much more? So much more. That's the logic we're going to see again and again as we study this passage this morning and apply it to our lives. I'm going to read the whole thing so that you can hear all the how much more in Paul's argument. And then we'll pull out four items that both summarize his argument and give us reason to hope again and to rejoice forever. All right? So let's read Romans chapter 5. You found it? Looking at verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, that's complex. It's not tangled. It's not a ball of yarn that's gotten out of control. But it is hard for us to follow. We don't tend to think in terms like this. So we need help. And I pray that I would be a help as a human instrument to my brothers and sisters and friends here. But we need a lot more help than I can bring. We pray that your Holy Spirit would illumine this text in our hearts today. That we would get it. And we would get the how much more. And that it would affect in us the change you want to bring in us. To bring out more joy and more hope in the glory of God. That we would rejoice in the hope of the glory of God more because we've studied this text. So help our minds to get it, Lord, but even deeper, help our hearts to get it. And bring yourself the glory. We pray for this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you hear how complex Paul's train of thought is as I read it? Did you hear all the how much mores as I read it? You hear some of those? The basic idea is very clear. You can make a chart of this passage like this, right? I mean, it's really just kind of a chart. One thing on one side of the ledger and one thing on the other. One thing in one column, one thing in the other. Adam and Christ. Under Adam, you can list all the things that came from him and his sin and failing to lead Eve and choosing to disobey God in Genesis chapter 3. And then under Christ, you could list all the things that came from him and his act of righteousness and living a perfect life and then sacrificing himself on the cross. And this column would be bad, and this column would be good. Everything bad flows out of this column, and everything good flows out of this one. This is the story of humanity. Have you ever had someone say, "What happened to you? You know, you just look like you're a mess," and you're like, "What happened to you?" Right? Well, this is what happened to us. This is what happened to humanity. This is what happened to you long before you ever were. And it tells the story of what will happen to you long after eternity comes. It's the story of two very influential men. But Paul wants to say more than that. He doesn't want to just say that it's the story of two very influential men. He wants to say that what happens in this column is much greater than what happened in this one. Now, part of what makes this passage so difficult to follow is that Paul begins a thought in verse 12, and then he goes somewhere else for five long verses. Okay, Paul goes on his rabbit trails. They're all logical, at least to him. Sometimes it's hard for me to jump the rails and go along with them. They're all logical, but he often will go over here before he gets over here. And he does that in verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned," what? Now you'd expect him to say, "so also," right? He says, "just as," and then he leaves you hanging. If you have the NIV, it has a dash at the end of verse 12 to just say, you know, there he goes. You know, he started this thought. Now he's going to come back to that thought in verses 18 and 19. But what he said has raised some things he thinks need said first. So let's try to follow him. Verse 1 again. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned," what column should all that go into? The Adam column. Good. Hey, you're talking back to me. Good. All right, so we're going to put this in the Adam column. What should we put in the Adam column? Sin entered the world through Adam. Hello, sin. Sin entered the world. Adam column. What came in with sin? What's it say? Death came in with sin. That's both spiritual and physical death. Sin entered, death followed. And not only death to Adam, but to everybody, right? Death spread to all people because somehow all sinned. All of humanity sinned in Adam, all shared in the sin of Adam. Now, we're not exactly sure how that works. Perhaps we were all spiritually present in Adam when he sinned. Or, more likely, Adam was representing us as the head of the human race when he sinned, and he did our sinning for us. Either way, or some other, we're all sinners now that Adam has sinned, and we all sinned. Adam column. We all have that same spiritual, sinful DNA inherited from our first father, Adam. As Ephesians says, we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. We sin by nature and by choice. And the consequence is death and more death, spiritual and physical. And what column does all that go into? The Adam column. That's a pretty heavy column. Sin and death to everyone, and sin by everyone. That feels heavy already. We've only done the first one. But Paul doesn't finish the "so also" here. He doesn't go over to Christ. He doesn't go over to the other column. He thinks that someone might have a question about whether or not there could be sin if there is no law. That's where he goes. Verse 13. "For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law." I think what he means is that there might be some people who say, well, not everybody sinned, Paul. Because between Adam and Moses, there was no Torah. There was no law that sharply defined what was sin and what was not sin. So you can't really say everybody sinned until there was a law. See what he's saying? But Paul, he says, no. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam." who was a pattern of the one to come. I think he's saying it was still sin. And we know that because of all the death. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, and that shows that everybody between Adam and Moses was a sinner, even if they were not transgressors like Adam, even though they did not have the law. Now, I didn't even have that question, but Paul makes sure that it's answered, right? Sometimes we need our questions adjusted so that we have the right questions. But the basic point is this: everybody's a sinner, right? From Adam on down, everybody's a sinner. Death reigned. The Adam column. Then there's this little thing of hope at the end of verse 14. It tells us that Adam was a pattern of the one to come. There was someone, capital S, to whom Adam was a pattern of. See, we read the story and Adam gets put in the garden and we think, oh, the story's about Adam, right? No, Adam's just a pattern. He's just a shadow of someone greater to come. And this person, who he is a pattern of, gets a column all to himself. Jesus Christ. Adam was made to point to and compare to Christ. Verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. He says, here's where it gets good. Okay? Are you following? The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? There's our first how much more. I've got four of these items for you, and I'm going to say it like this: super overflowing grace. Now, I know that sounds a little corny, but I got to do something to help us to hear how much more is going on here. Super overflowing grace. What does verse 15 say goes in Adam's column? Death, right? For the many died by the trespass of the one man. That's a lot. That's heavy. You feeling the heaviness? But the Jesus column, he says, is greater. Verse 15 again. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Do you hear all the grace words there in that verse? He can't just say grace. He's got to say God's grace and gift and came by the grace and overflow. God's grace in Jesus is just pouring out all over the place. The Greek word here is eperesousin. It's directly connected to that word that caused me to pour a few jugs of water all over the floor up here a few years ago. If you remember that, it's that kind of a word. Adam may have earned death for us, but Jesus gives away His grace. Super overflowing grace. How much more? Number two, super effective justification. Verse 16. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. If you were to put that verse on the chart, what would you say in that verse goes in Adam's column? One sin, and what does it lead to? Condemnation, right? What does Paul say goes in Christ's column there? Justification after what? Many sins, right? Many sins. And that's our word justification that we've been learning about over and over again in Romans. Let me read it again. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So, you still with me this morning? Yes, but it's hard, isn't it? It's kind of a little bit hard to follow Paul on this. We think that it's something that Adam sinned and then we all fell down. Okay? That's heavy for us. But this is saying that's something, but it's really nothing. Think about all the sins that have been committed since then. Right? And think about how Jesus' death was sufficient to pay for them all. That's what he's saying. One sin, condemnation. Yeah, that's bad. It is. All the many sins, justification. How much greater is that? Now think about all of your sins. Past, present, future. Do you ever think, well, I don't know if he can forgive me. I've just been so bad. I've done so many wrong things and I keep doing them. And think that his death was sufficient to pay for them all. This is what Paul can't get over. He can't get over how precious is the blood of Christ. How rich, how vast, what we just sang about. That it could pay for all of those sins. Just right now, think about all of the sins being committed across the world right now. Just this moment. Okay? Don't think too hard about them. Just quantify them, though. 7 billion people in the world. All of them sinners. And Christ's death was sufficient to pay for them all. How much more? Declared righteous. You, just by believing, just by faith alone in Jesus alone. See, that's what we've been studying about in Romans. Justification by faith. Super effective justification. How much more effective is the gift of Jesus than the sin of Adam? Do you see how taken Paul is with what Jesus has accomplished? He says these two columns, they almost don't compare. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? There he goes again. Right? Adam column. What goes in the Adam column? The reign of, shout it out, death. Right? That's what goes in the Adam column. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty big. The reign of death. The rule of death. The dominion of death. All out of this one man Adam and his one big sin, death reigned. But he says, but that's nothing compared to this. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Here's how I'm going to put it. Number three, super living reign. Now I know that kind of sounds comic bookish. But forgive me, I couldn't find words amazing enough to get it across. Notice that in the Christ column, it's not just life that reigns, though he could have said that. He could have said, death reigned in Adam, now life reigns in Christ, but that's not what he says. Who does he say reigns? He says, we do. Those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. That's us, friends. You see how glorious this is? We will reign in life. When Christ returns, we will reign forever. We will live forever. And we will share in Christ's reign. I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds glorious. Everything that Adam was supposed to be and do as ruler of the earth, but lost for himself and for humanity, will be restored to us in the end. That's what he's saying. You know, when Adam was set up as the ruler, he was supposed to take dominion over the earth. He was king of the earth. He's the only person. He and Eve were the only people, but they were king of the earth, right? And they're supposed to populate the earth and rule it. And they dashed all that. We still exercise a kind of dominion today, but it's so paltry. It's not at all like what it was supposed to be. Because of what? Sin and death. But now, he says, death will not reign. We will. not on our own, not look at them, oh boy, Lance Free Church, they reign, woo, but through the one man, Jesus Christ. How much more? That column. I've said it before and many times this year, I am so tired of death. We live under the specter of death. Death reigns right now. Glorious servant of Christ, Bob Dignan, we say he went home, and he did. But he passed through death on the way. Today is my friend Danny Mendez's birthday. Danny is an Italian, as you might guess. I'm just kidding. Danny Mendez, it's his birthday today, and it's his first birthday since his wife died a few weeks ago, age 40. She had cystic fibrosis, and she got the enterovirus at the same time. I hate that he has to go through his birthday without his wife and the mother of his four teen and preteen kids. I hate it. I did 9 funerals in the last year. Many of you all sat down to Thanksgiving dinners for the first time on Thursday with a loved one who wasn't there. Their place at the table was empty. Because death reigns. And because of that, the world we live in is profoundly broken. Ferguson. Whatever you think happened there between Wilson and Brown, you know it's not the way things ought to be. The world is under the rule of death. But life is broken through. How much more? How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness, there's our word again, will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice that you have to receive this. Did you catch that in verse 17? You have to receive God's abundant provision of grace. To be included in Adam, you only have to be born. But to be included in Christ, you must believe. And if you believe, then you receive that gift of righteousness, justification by faith, and then you will reign and rule in life. A bit now, and fully to come. Now in verse 18, Paul finally gets back to finishing that thought that he started in verse 12. It's what he's been saying all along, what he's been driving at, but now he says it right out. Verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. The Adam column has one big sin whose result was condemnation for all men in Adam. And the Christ column is one act of righteousness, the cross, whose result was justification that brings life to all men in Christ. And then he puts it in other words in verse 19. For just as through the obedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, Adam column, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous, Adam and Christ. That's the story of you. What happened to you? Those verses tell the story. You were in Adam. And you were getting all that Adam's column offers. But if you receive Jesus and His gift, then you get what all of what His column offers instead. And His column is so much more. So much more great. One more, number 4. Super increasing grace. But someone might say, well, what about the law? Hey, Paul, wait a sec. What about the law? Now, I don't go to the law. My mind just doesn't go there. But Paul's does. As a Jew and living among Jews and writing to Christian Jews, his mind says, well, wait a sec. What about the law? Paul cares deeply about the law. Paul, you tell us the story of the world, starting with Adam and then going to Jesus. Wasn't there this thing in between? What was the point of the law then, in between Adam and Christ? Well, most good Jews would assume that the point of the law was to try to solve the sin problem, you know, curb the sin problem. God put it in place to kind of set things right. It didn't quite work, but that's why he put it there. But that's not what Paul says. Look at what Paul says in verse 20. The law was added so the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think that what Paul is saying is that the law came about to intensify sin by showing how sinful sin is. You instinctively feel that you should not steal, right? Conscience put in us does that. We push it down, like we learned about in chapter 1. But we have that feeling, and we hate it when anybody does it to us, right? But when someone in authority comes to us and says, don't steal, then you really feel how bad it is to steal. And you really feel like stealing, don't you? So sin intensifies and multiplies because the law has arrived. Sin increased, Paul says. The law showed up and it was just obvious that sin is this really ugly thing and that it's also out of control. Verse 20, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. How much more? The Greek word here for increased all the more is hooper eperisuosin. So it's that it's even more overflowing than the grace in verse 15. It's super, hooper, super. As we sing, grace greater than all my sin. Sin reigned in death, but now grace reigns through righteousness. Now we who are believers in Jesus are dominated by grace. How about that for a phrase? Dominated by grace. Ruled by grace. We, an ever-increasing grace, reigns. Grace increased all the more. Do you know that because you belong to Jesus, you are ruled by an ever-increasing grace? Paul is going to have much more to say about this in chapters 6 and 7 and 8. We will get to them at the first of the year, Lord willing. I'm going to take Romans off for December. We're going to do some Christmas things. Paul's going to have to answer a question that naturally comes up. If grace increases with the increase in sin, maybe we should sin some more to make grace increase even more. Doesn't that follow, Paul? Paul says that's nonsense. Because we see how sinful we are, we give even more glory to God because of how much grace we see we need. And how much more grace-filled God is than we even needed. Super-increasing grace calls for songs of loudest praise. Not on our own, but verse 21, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what Paul has done here? Have I led you through the maze? Did you get from one end to the other? He's told the story of the world. How the world went wrong with Adam, and how sin and death have dominated our world for all of human history, the Adam column. We've been living in it. But now something greater has come. Jesus Christ has sacrificed Himself in such a way that we now have super overflowing grace because of His gift. Super effective justification, paying for all of our sins. Super living reign to look forward to, restoring the righteous living rule that Adam lost. And super increasing grace that reigns through righteousness. How much more? All of our hopes restored, and then some. Same 2 points of application as last week. Number 1, put your faith in Jesus to be justified. Because you don't move from the Adam column to the Christ column without going through verse 17. Those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Only those who put their faith in Jesus get this grace, this justification, this life, this reign. It's so good. But you have to choose it. You have to put your faith in Christ alone. And second and last application, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Because of how much greater Jesus is and has accomplished on our behalf. We have every reason to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because of how much more Jesus is and how much more He accomplished than Adam.